The WBKY Saturday Morning Quarterback Show is on the air on 1580, 103.3 WPKY and WPKYonline.com. Time to take a look back at last night's Caldwell game. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The Caldwell County Tigers made the long trip up to Hancock County last night, but I saw the season come to an end with a playoff loss to the Hornets. 41-0 was the final score. Tigers end up the season with a 6-5 mark. Good morning, everyone. We're at McDonald's in Princeton for Saturday Morning Quarterback. This is Todd Griffin, along with Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us this morning. And Coach McClung, we thought it would be kind of an even matchup, but Hancock County's ground game just was tough to kind of stop last night.
Yeah, they ate up a lot of clock. We didn't play, moved the ball some, but we're never able to put any points on the board. You know, it's a really tough way to kind of end the season because we kind of felt like we're a much better team than we showed the last 3 weeks. And, anytime you play your last game of the season, it's hard. You see some seniors play their last game of their career, and that's always hard. But, you know, we went up there and fought. You know, we didn't have a lot of adversity early in the season, but we really had a lot here at the end with injuries and sicknesses and concussions, and we've had a lot of it to overcome, and just a tough way to end the season. You know, it's really a good season. We make progress every year, 3 years in a row, and you know, really wanted to end it on a higher note, but you know, we got a lot of young kids coming back, and you know, maybe there's an experience that we can learn from and build from and continue to progress.
Yeah, Jeff, that last loss is always tough. It doesn't matter if it's 41-0 or 41-40. It's just the suddenness of the season ending is always kind of a shock to the system.
Yeah, it is tough. It's tough. No matter, I was thinking about this morning. I've been coaching for a million years and played for a few, and it never gets any easier. You always kind of want to win the last one, and when the last one comes, and you know, you're a little tired from the season, but you're not ready for it to end. And you know, that's kind of how I felt this morning and last night. And you hate it for the kids. You empathize because you've been there, but you that's just part of the process. And you know, losing football is a tough thing. And you know, now we just got to help our kids get better and move on, help those seniors graduate, and wish them the best, and you know, start turning our attention to getting our team better for next year over the next few weeks.
Yeah, like I said, the season just always kind of comes to a crash there at the end, and it doesn't really matter. Unless you win the state championship, you know, if you lose in the first round, you wish you would have gotten to the second round. If you lose in the second round, you wish you would have gotten to the third round. You know, if you lose there, you wish you would have gotten to the semifinals.
Oh, yeah.
So you're always going to just not like that last loss.
No, there's nothing to like about a loss. I mean, nobody likes losing, and losing stinks. And, you know, it's part of the process, and it's part of the game, and you accept that, but you don't ever want it to be, you know, how you operate. So nobody likes to lose, and everybody wants to finish on top and finish with a win. And, you know, I felt like our kids fought last night and gave themselves a chance. And we just run up against a team that out-physicaled us, and, you know, they were able to make plays, and we just didn't play very well. And, you know, sometimes that happens, and when it does, your season ends.
Coach McClung, we did have some opportunities so early in the contest, and we got a takeaway right off the bat and actually had pretty good field position. We just couldn't get much going offensively.
Yeah, you know, I knew it would be hard to run the ball on them. They had a lot of size up front, so we spent a lot of time during the week working on quick game and screens and tempo stuff. We felt like we really had an advantage there. But, you know, we never really got in rhythm, and you know, we dropped a lot of passes, and we just never really got in sync. You know, we did some good things. On special teams, we did some good things on special teams. We did give up a fake punt that really hurt us, or gave up a block punt. But, you know, there's some things. We had some opportunities with field position, and it left some holes for us that we should have been able to exploit offensively. And it just wasn't our night. You know, we just didn't play very well. Just one of those nights that you wish kids could watch the film and then go replay the game, because they're going to, you know, you're going to see a lot of stuff that we should have been able to exploit and get the ball. We should have scored some points, and we didn't get it done. And it's sad for those seniors to end their their career on a game like that, because, you know, they've really persevered all the way through, going from a 1-10 season to a winning season 2 years later. So, you know, they deserve better, but, you know, there are more important things in life. You know, these kids have built a lot of long-lasting relationships. They got a lot to be proud of and what they've done, and I'm proud of them. So, but I'm sad. I'm sad this season is over, but these kids got a lot to be proud of and what they've accomplished in these last few years.
I felt like the Hancock County team we saw last night was probably a little better than the one that I saw watching the videos of their games from earlier this season. They were a little quicker in the secondary than I anticipated. I thought we'd have a little trouble with them up front because of the size difference, but we couldn't really get on the edge the way I thought we might be able to, and we couldn't get our receivers open downfield kind of the way I thought we might be able to.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to be sharper against that team like that. They, and, you know, even though they beat us bad, I really feel like that we had opportunities. I do feel like that their offensive line was we had to play Philip Merritt last night. He's a freshman, and you know, that's asking a lot of a freshman. You know, then Derek goes down, and Donovan Rogers stepped in for us. But, you know, it's hard when you're down two of your top three starting linebackers, and you're playing a freshman defensive tackle against a team that's, they're 7-3, and they have a lot of seniors on their line, and that's a lot of experience going against a really young kid. The kid is going to be a good football player, you know, but that's asking a lot in a playoff game to go against a very experienced team like them.
Well, I thought they were a pretty solid team all the way around, and we knew they were going to be bigger than us, but I kind of thought we would have the speed advantage. But like I said, I think Hancock County was actually just a little bit quicker than I gave them credit for before the game.
Well, one thing I'll say about them, you know, that they're a well-coached team, and they play hard. And, you know, they don't have great athletes, but they have enough athletes to be a problem, you know. I think that they're, like I said before, they're similar to us in the kind of clientele they have, the kind of athletes they have. They're a little bigger than us, but, you know, it's just one of those games where it just really wasn't our night. And, you know, even when we were down 21-0 at halftime, I told the kids I felt like we could get back in this game. And we needed to come out and score. We got the ball first in the second half, and I thought if we come out and score, we could be right back in the game, and it didn't happen. We just never really got a big play to give us any momentum. We caused some turnovers, but we never got that big offensive play that would get us rolling. And in a playoff game, you got to have those moments.
Jeff, we did have three more takeaways last night. We did a good job all season, I thought, of forcing turnovers, but we just didn't have any points after those turnovers last night.
Yeah, that's been something our defense has taken a lot of pride in, and Coach Bergen has emphasized that to the kids about trying to get the ball back and get the ball back to the offense. And, you know, we all know if you talk about football, you talk about turnovers and, you know, trying to get the ball back. So that's an important stat, and that's something that, again, Coach was talking about being proud of. They can be proud of that. And, you know, I know we come up with the ball a couple times. They put it on the ground. A couple times we took it away from them. And, you know, that just shows their effort. Their kids are playing hard. And, you know, just sometimes you run up against a physical football team, and, you know, they get on you, and it's not really scheme, and there's not really, you know, you can blitz and you can do different things. But sometimes with that stuff, if you don't guess right, and they get you, and they're going to make a play. And sometimes we were trying to find answers, and, you know, we let a guy go and make a mistake and give up a little bit of a big play, and then we'd get a silly penalty, and those kind of things hurt us all night long.
But what Hancock County does offensively, they do really well.
They do, and, you know, we don't see a lot of wing tee stuff. I think this is our first true wing tee team we see. I think Webster runs some wing tee stuff, and but not, you know, Hancock County's executes a little bit better, and they've got a, you know, they're a little bigger up front and can get after you a little bit, and they're, you know, Coach said they're well coached, and, you know, all those things happen. And, you know, the thing about running an offense like that is when you do it for, you know, 15 weeks for whatever, however long we've been playing, you're going to see 15 different defenses trying to get you, and your kids get experience, and they understand how to take somebody out of it. And how do you take somebody out? You just get on them and you run your feet, and you make them have to get off the block. And, you know, if you're a if you're a Duke Ward and the guy that's blocking is, you know, got 2 inches and 75 pounds on you, that's a tough task to be in sometimes. And, you know, I think that's kind of what happened to us defensively last night. They just got on us and knocked us back off the football, and we were trying to get off blocks and make plays, and Coach Berger's calling everything he can think of to try to get it to happen, and we were able to force some turnovers, but we just never were able to just, you know, consistently get them stopped and get off the field.
Yeah, Coach McClung, they moved the Hager kid to quarterback a lot last week against Bethlehem in the regular season finale, and, you know, for a freshman, I thought he ran their offense really well. And then you put Eubanks back there at fullback instead of quarterback. They just do a really good job of moving the football around and hiding it, and it's kind of tough to figure out who's got the ball sometimes.
Yeah, and Seven, he's a really smart football player and a good runner, had some speed. He hurt us, and, you know, I don't know where all the stats were, but, you know, it's a they just did a good job of taking care of the football, and, you know, they just played safe football against us. They did what we gave them, and advantage of simple stuff, and, you know, it really worked out for them.
Yeah, I think all three of their running backs had 100 yards last night. The Hager kid, Eubanks, and I guess the Jones kid is number 7. So, yeah, they all ended up with at least 100 yards, which...
That's not the first time they've done that to us.
Is that right? Yeah. I know Webster County did that to us one time, and I think we've done that once before, had three backs with 100 yards, but that's not something you see very often.
Well, they had three backs with 100 yards against us in the playoff game one time, and we still beat them by 20 points. So, you got to score. You know, anytime you play somebody that's efficient, that's what the word I was searching for with them. They're very efficient in what they did offensively. They just piled up first downs, and those first downs eventually turned into touchdowns. I don't know how many flat passes they completed. I don't remember them hardly completing a pass. But, you know, in playoff football, you got to stop the run, and we couldn't do that last time.
They were 4 for 7 throwing the football for 81 yards.
Most of that was that screen at the end.
Yeah.
They had a screen at the end for Big Blade. It was kind of the biggest part of their yardage there.
So they ended up with 418 yards. We had 123, but we only had 11 yards rushing last night. And, you know, when you can't run the ball, especially between the tackles, it kind of makes you a little one-dimensional offensively.
Yeah. I mean, we knew going in it would be hard to run. We spent a lot of time practicing runs to the perimeter, but we struggled with that early. We weren't getting our edge block very well, and they lined up very almost exactly like how we thought. And, you know, a quick passing game with screens and short passes, those are almost like run plays, but you got to complete them. And, you know, we did. I don't know what our completion percentage was last night, but we missed some receivers and dropped passes, and, you know, we weren't efficient. We weren't efficient on offense, and that caused lots of struggles for us.
Yeah, we were 18 of 36 last night passing.
Wow. Exactly, a higher percentage than it seemed like.
112 yards passing. Like I said, we had 123 total last night. 56 yards in the first half, and I really thought that's where our opportunities were in the game. And, you know, sometimes football games aren't always won in the fourth quarter. Sometimes what happens early in the game kind of sets the tone. And you look at the final score and say it's 41-0, but, you know, we had a couple of opportunities early to put the ball in the end zone. And if we score early, the rest of the game plays that differently.
I thought they did a better job than I expected containing Daylon from running. I thought Daylon would be a big problem for him running. But they were pretty smart with their pass rush and keeping him in the box. You know, he got out a few times, but I thought he would really hurt him with his feet. They did a good job. He tried to run several times, and they did a good job of keeping him bottled up.
Jeff, we were 6-0 all time against Hancock County before last night's game up there, but they had brought some really good teams to Princeton over that time. It's just we figured out ways to beat them. I know one night they were actually up on us 21-7, and they were driving with a chance to go up 28-7 and really take control of the game. And, you know, they fumbled. We ran it back for a touchdown. The tide turned, and we ended up winning 42-21 that night. And I kept kind of waiting for that kind of play last night. I was like, well, we'll pick one off or we'll return one of these fumbles for a touchdown and that'll get us kick-started, but it just never occurred.
Oh, but they'll try if he has 18-year-old knees instead of 50-year-old knees to play with a score. Oh.
Is that Aaron Bill that picked up that?
I think it was, yeah. Yeah, ran it back. It changed the whole game.
I remember that. It was big. And that's, you know, that's what we were missing last night. We never had any, you know, we had some big plays like recovery, creating a turnover, but we just never had any momentum swinging plays. And in the playoffs, it's so key to have a big play here and there to turn the tide. And it was, you know, it was kind of a plodding game. And then all of the big plays they made, and we didn't make any of them. So.
Caldwell County with a loss at Hancock County last night in the playoffs. Tigers finished the season at 6-5. We're at McDonald's in Princeton this morning for a Saturday morning quarterback. We do need to get to a timeout, but we'll come back and have more with the coaches right after this on 1580 103.3
WPKY. Specialists aren't just agents. They're landowners, raised on the land, seeing the property's true potential from timber and wetlands to prime hunting ground. With expertise and passion, they unite buyers and sellers every day. Reach an even bigger audience thanks to Whitetail Properties' award-winning TV show and a top social media following. For a better land selling experience, list with Whitetail Properties. Find them at whitetailproperties.com.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens...
Congratulations, it's a girl.
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Hey, it's Tess. WPKY has lost our sneaky little gnome, PK, and we need your help to find him. PK will be hiding in a different location every week, so follow the clues, find him, and take a selfie. Don't forget to text it to us at 270-963-9038. Enter every week. Each selfie gets you another entry for the grand prize drawing. There's no place like local for the holidays. 1580-103.3 WPKY.
Did you know every time you shop in our big deal store, you're not just grabbing a great bargain? You're supporting local businesses right here in our community? At WPKY, the Big Deals Program allows local businesses to trade gift certificates for advertising, helping them grow as they reach more customers. And don't we all want our business community to grow? Help our local business community thrive and save money, too. Shop Big Deals at WPKYonline.com and make a difference. Visit WPKYonline.com and click on Big Deals today.
Financial planning should be specific to you and your life circumstances. That is why we created InvestFB Wealth Management, a division of Farmers Bank. Hi, I'm Jeff McDaniels, InvestFB's lead financial advisor. Whether you're saving for retirement, starting a business, or planning your family's future, our individual and comprehensive approach can help you achieve your financial goals. Visit us today at our Princeton or Eddyville offices to start a conversation about your individual financial needs.
Whether you're cruising a Kentucky country road or weaving through city streets, Tri-Cues has the perfect vehicle for your next adventure. Discover their friendly team and check out a fantastic lineup of new, pre-owned, and certified pre-owned vehicles. There's something for every style and budget, so you can drive with confidence wherever life leads. At Tri-Cues, you're treated like family from your first test drive to every service visit. Start your journey at Tri-Cues.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are at McDonald's in Princeton this morning. As always, after a football game, we thank McDonald's for hosting us on Saturday Morning Quarterback this season. Caldwell County coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley with us on the show. Tigers falling at Hancock County last night in the first round of the playoffs. Tigers finishing up their season with a 6-5 record. And Coach McClung, it's always toughest on those seniors because, you know, you kind of get used to running out there on the field every Friday night. And then, like we said earlier, that's kind of gone after that last loss.
Yeah, you know, it's tough for anybody to go through that. But, you know, football is a once in a lifetime opportunity, and but you take all those lessons that you can apply them to the rest of your life, because you know football has a lot of adversity in it. You know, I think about these seniors. You know, Jack Roach. I don't know how many tackles he had last night, but he probably finished close to 350 tackles in his career, which puts him top five. The kind of career he's had. And you know, Fidel has come back out for his last 2 years. He really had a good year. And you know, Shane Farrow and Zy Rollins, they've been a part of a lot of football over the last few years. You know, been through some hard times, and we've been through some tough matchups, and that they've really persevered. You know, Zy came back from a brutal injury last year. Didn't even know if he would get to play this year. You know, that says a lot about how tough a kid he is. And you know, Shane is probably one of the, you know, he has some really memorable plays, some kickoff returns and big hits. And then you got Noah Bailey, who's been our long snapper for at least 3 years, maybe 4 years, and then started center this year. And so, and I'm forgetting some people. We got some kids that just came out this year, but those are the guys that really pop into my mind. You know, Andrew Dunbar, he started 3 years for us, played guard, played tackle his sophomore year, you know, weighed about 165 pounds playing tackle, and then played guard last year, and then moved back to tackle this year. So you got a lot of guys that played a lot of football, put in a lot of time, and really, you know, we didn't have a state championship team, but they put in a lot of work to help rebuild the program, and I appreciate that. You know, when I first took this job, we were looking at this really hard record, a really hard schedule, and you know, a lot to overcome. And you know, we could have gone through a winless season, and really just we had to repeat that schedule again. And those kids did a great job, and then they come around to the next season and have a winning record. Says a lot, you know, and I'm glad that everybody wants more. I'm glad that everybody thinks we should have been better. It's fine. I welcome those expectations. You know, I want to be better. I wanted to win more games this year, and you know, but winning those games, it's hard. It takes a lot of work to take, especially in the off season, and we're not where we want to be yet, and we got work to do. And you know, I hope these kids that are returning. Look at these kids before them and look up to what they went through to get us there, but also understand that there's more work to be done. And I hope that's the attitude we've taken off season, and hope we improve on our record next year.
Well, and not to make an excuse, but just to state the fact, we were kind of beat up the last couple of weeks of the season.
We were super beat up. I mean, we lost Cam. And he's like a three-way player for us because he's a key special teams guy on top of being an offensive and defensive star for us. So that was a big loss. And then we, you know, we played the Murray game with three starting offensive linemen. You know, we still had kids out this week. There was kids. I don't know if you noticed last night we had kids on the field puking, and it wasn't for concussions. They were sick. We had kids last night playing sick. You know, we lose Derek Wilson. I think he's probably got a pretty serious foot injury, and he's a two-way starter for us. So, you know, that's also the way the game is. You know, it's a tough physical game, and, you know, you got to have other people ready. And we had some other people step in and do good jobs considering the odds that we're facing, but you know, that's why it's a great game, because you really have, you learn about how important it is to persevere, and you also learn that you don't always win because you think you should win. You know, you got to go out and get the job done, and you also learn that losing a football game is not the end of the world. You know, I really enjoy all the time I've got to spend with those kids. It's a special group of kids, and you know. I'll be their buddy for the rest of their lives now. And, you know, now that their football career is over, they don't have to listen to me yell at them anymore. And, you know, I'm close with a lot of guys that have played for me. So that's more important. But, you know, so we're looking forward to next year. You know, there'll be at least 18. They'll have 18 juniors. Going to be seniors next year. That'll be a good year. We're going to play the same schedule. And hopefully they'll commit to off season. We'll have a better season next year.
When you going into the season, though, that we were a little shorthanded at the receiver spot, and Cam was the only guy, I think, on the team that had ever caught a pass in a varsity game before this season. So then you lose Cam, and then you lose Derek last week or last night early in the game. That just wasn't a spot we were real deep at.
No, it wasn't. And you know, the guys that replacing our receivers from last year are playing both ways. You know, we got Drew Stevens out there playing both ways. We got Zy playing both ways. Derek playing both ways. Cam playing both ways. You know, and that's asking a lot. But the good thing about it is, you know, going into next year, we got a lot of guys returning that have caught passes. So, you know, that's just one of those things that you go through. You know, next year we return almost our whole offensive line. We graduate Noah and Landry, and we return everybody else. But we had some guys start this year when they were out. And so we got some guys returning that had some start experience. You know, Philip Marriott started a game on the offensive line, and Ethan Lane started a game on the offensive line. So those guys have some starting experience. And, you know, we really return a lot. We return our quarterback. We return our running back. We'll return Cam. We'll return Drew. We'll return Derek. So almost our entire offense. And, you know, defensively, Jack will be a big hole to fill. That'll be a tough one. But I have to replace Fidel, Zy. But other than that, we return on everybody on defense. So ought to be a good group coming back. We're looking forward to it. You know, I'm still kind of in the doldrums about this season being ended. But these seniors hopefully we'll have a more successful year next year. And these seniors, their career has just ended. They need to understand that they were a part of that. You know, they were a part of the positive momentum in the program. And these guys that are going to go on and hopefully win more games, that they learned it from them. So,
yeah, Jeff, it's always toughest on the seniors, and it's fun to look ahead to next year and get ready for that. But when you're talking about high school football, there are not a whole lot of guys that get to go on and play college football. When they walk off the field that last time in high school, that's the last time you're going to suit up and go out and play football. You know, you can go out and play a round of golf by yourself, or you can shoot a basketball by yourself, but it's kind of hard to go out and play football by yourself.
It is hard, and, you know, that's one of the things I think is tough for these kids. I mean, they've been, you know, and that losing the game is also a big reason why I personally coach. I mean, you don't have the game for a while, and it's missing in your life, and, you know you want that feeling, and you get back into it, and the best way to get back into it as an adult is to go coach. And, you know, one of the things that I think the kids have to understand is they have to find something to kind of feel that, a positive thing. And, you know, it stinks. It does stink. And it really hits home next year whenever you're standing on the sideline and watching your guys you played with go play. That's not very much fun. I do want to add to the senior list, though. I got C.J. Bratcher kind of came out for the first year. He was a senior for us. And Coach mentioned Noah and Zy and Jack and Carter and Landry. Can't forget the kicker. Sutton Ritchie was been for us all year and kicked the ball well. He's been a kicker for two or three years. He went. I would always just call him the JV kicker for at first, and then he became the varsity kicker. And, you know, he's got a chance to maybe go play a little bit. He's got a live leg, and we appreciate him. And, you know, Jameson Markham came out, and he kind of had a tough couple years. He fought through some knee things, had a big catch last night. It was good for him to get a catch in the last game. And, you know, he really kind of battled and stuck it out. So we had three managers, you know, Dazzy, Callie, and Hallie have been around, and, you know, around the edges of the program doing things and helping out. So those, you know, you send those kids out in the world, you hope you did some positive in their life, and they look back on what they did with you and had a good experience. So we do appreciate those guys and girls and what they've done for us, and we hope they come back and, you know, have a little pride in what they do. You know, maybe get into coaching and you know, let them replace these old guys sometime.
And we will always remember his sign for the senior picture where he's standing on his head.
That's right. That's another way to be a unique. Everybody's going to say, what's wrong with that kid? You know, that's, you know, and, you know, Coach did talk about Zy and the toughness that he's had. And, you know, Zy's one of those kids that, you know, he just sticks around. He loves the game. He loves to compete. And, you know, he tore his knee up pretty good, but he came back and had a very good senior year. It was a big part of what we did on both sides of football. So, you know, all those kids have those types of stories. And, you know, at the end of the day, you want to win them all, but that's kind of what it's about. So,
Hall County falling last night at Hancock County. Again, first round of the playoffs, and Tigers end up the season with a 6-5 record. We're talking with Tiger coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley this morning from McDonald's in Princeton. We need to get to the break, but more on Saturday morning quarterback after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Ever have one of those medical questions you're too embarrassed to ask?
I got a tick bite in the worst place possible. I heard if you put Vaseline on it, it'll just back itself out. Is that true?
Community Medical Clinic will join Coffee Talk to spill the beans.
Is hair of the dog really good for a hangover?
Text your questions at 270-963-9038.
How many ibuprofen is too many ibuprofen?
Listen Middle Mondays at 8:15. Might just hear your answer.
Is that normal?
I mean, honestly.
Is that true?
Spill the beans only on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Are you overwhelmed when it comes to marketing your business? This is Cindy Allen Lacks with the Edge Media Group. And when I started my career 30 years ago, we sold radio. But we are so much more today. We have multiple radio stations and websites. Digital advertising. Well, it's a must for a business, but which direction to go in can be a real challenge. We can help you with that challenge. Let us put our team of experts to work for you. Contact us today at theedgemediagroup.net.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
After they beat Tillman, they were number one.
We are here at McDonald's in Princeton this morning for a Saturday Morning Quarterback, talking football with coaches Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley. Checking some scores last night. Of course, our score was 41-0 at Hancock County. The Hornets moving on, and they'll get to go to Mayfield next week in the second round. Crittenden County with a 28-20 win over McLean County. So, Coach, that was a pretty good game. Tied 14-14 at halftime last night.
Really? I didn't know that. I know McLean, their coach, does a good job scheming stuff up. He runs kind of a quirky little winky offense. And that's interesting, you know, the districts will be the same next year, so there's a good chance that we'll see them next year. We might see them at Hancock again next year, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Owensboro Catholic, a big win over Fort Campbell, 61-7. So Crittenden County is headed to OCAF next week.
Yeah, that'll be a tall task. I mean, it's always tough to make a trip and go up there. And, you know, I think this year's OCAF team is loaded again. So, you know, but Crittenden's got some weapons. Crittenden, you know, anytime you have a really good quarterback and a really good receiver and you can make it happen, create some big plays, that's a chance.
Checking some other scores last night. Owensboro beat Grayson County 62-7. Bowling Green over Graves County 42-0. And Glasgow shut out Webster County 56-0. So, Coach McClung, I'm not sure any big surprises in that group.
No, I'm interested to see, you know, Glasgow is undefeated, but they haven't really played a very tough schedule yet. So I'm interested to see in that class when they play somebody that is good, what happens to them. I was happy to see Webster go and play. And then, you know, some of the teams dropped out. I'm glad that Webster chose to go play them. And, you know, Eddie has done a good job over there. You know, they don't have a lot of athletes, but, you know, they continue to fight to improve that program. So I'm glad to see them playing a playoff game.
Some other Western Kentucky teams with wins last night. Hopkinsville beat Davis County 50-20. Paducah Tillman shut out Taylor County 28-0. Union County big over LaRue County 42-0. And Murray gets a 45-8 win over Adair County.
You know, that I'm interested to see how Union shapes up, because they have just got all their injured people back. So I know they got beat by Murray earlier in the year, but they were down. Their quarterback was out and their second best running back right now, and they really rely heavily on running multiple backs. So I'm interested, and they have a lot of seniors too. Union County does, and they played the state finals last year, so I could see them being a team that kind of steps up and surprises some people in the playoffs. That's somebody that I think them in Glasgow would be an interesting matchup on top of throwing Murray in there as well.
Couple of games on Thursday. Hart County beat Hopkins County Central 42-12. Henderson County over Meade County 42-7. And last night, McCracken County beat Central Hardin 46-7. Had a lightning delay in that game, Coach, so I'm glad we avoided that kind of weather last night, although it was a little foggy on the drive home last night.
Yeah, well, that's probably why we passed the Central Hardin bus coming back, and we were in Dawson, and they were just coming past us. I didn't realize they had a delay.
Yeah, so some weird weather last night. The fog kind of moved in on us on the way home, and some of it was still around this morning on the way into town, so hopefully everybody made it back safe from the game last night. As you look ahead to next week, the Hancock County Mayfield matchup could be an interesting one. I think Mayfield playing at home, Jeff, they're always going to be really tough to get down there. But does Hancock County have an offense suited to go in there and keep that thing close?
Well, I wouldn't. If I was a betting man, I probably wouldn't bet on the Hornets. But that's good. You know, sometimes for them, that's a good position to be in. You know, they're getting Mayfield off of an off week, and you know, they I think their kids are physical and tough and can execute. They might go down there and give them a ball game. I think Mayfield's speed is going to be tough for Hancock County. They're fast everywhere. You know, I think they're going to be a tough matchup for them in the passing game. And they're pretty well-rounded offensively, and now they fly around defensively. I think that's going to be a tall task for the Hornets. But, you know, one of the great things about sports is you get to go play and see. Yeah. And, you know, hats off to them for getting to go down there and take a shot at them.
Well, and I still don't like that so many teams pulled out of the playoffs this season. I understand that sometimes you get low in numbers and maybe it's a dangerous situation if you've only got 14 or 15 players you can dress. But, you know, to me, pulling out of a game just because it's a long trip or because you might get beat, I mean, I just don't like that at all. You got to give your kids an opportunity to go play.
Yeah, you hope the game's more important than, you know, the logistics. You hope the playing the game is more important than the feeling that you might win or lose. You hope it's bigger than that for most people. And, you know, it's hard to speculate because you're not inside on what some of the teams do and why they decide what they do. But, you know, you hope I do feel for a team that's got 15 kids and you got, you know, of those 15 kids, you got a bunch of sophomore freshmen that are going to go play a bunch of, you know, guys got 20 seniors. So I can understand that too. You know, each program gets an opportunity to kind of make a decision on what's best for them. And, you know, the KHSAA tries to make it fair and, you know, pay your fine and or whatever it is, your forfeit fee. And, you know, so the other team doesn't lose too much of a gate. You just kind of move on. And, you know, I don't know. I think that's just kind of the nature of the beast. I think that's, you know, the way it is. But I do agree it's always much better to play and to go, you know, give yourself a chance. And you can't teach kids if you're not playing. And I think that's kind of what we're supposed to be about. So you got to play to be able to do that. So, yeah, I don't like the – well, we just decided not to go either. But.
Yeah, all those kids deserve that last chance to run out on the field, you know, put the helmet on and go play. And I think we make too much of, you know, the difference in scores sometimes. The object of high school sports is to go play.
Right. I think too many times we look at high school sports with the same lens that we watch games with on Saturday and Sundays, and I don't think that's fair to high school kids and high school coaches and programs. It's not the same. There's some similarities, obviously, but, you know, you can't – I would hope that people who follow the game and care about the game won't judge, you know, Caldwell County football with the same way they judge UK football and, you know, or the Titans or whoever. And, you know, I think sometimes we look at it that way because that's just how we're accustomed to looking at it. And, you know, we think because it's football, it's the same, but it's just not the same. And, you know, kids deserve the opportunity to play, and it's supposed to be about the kids. And, of course, money and logistics, all that stuff is a factor. But, it's, you know, only get a chance to make decisions for kids. I think kids want to play, and if you're going to schedule these games, and, you know, I think you got to do everything within your power to go play because that's ultimately what it's about.
And so the next big question becomes, do we need to tweak the playoffs somehow? Is there something we need to change, or what can we do to make the playoffs better?
Well, I think like anything else that you do, you always have those conversations. At the end, you go back and you look and you say, you know, this or that, and you like this. I know Coach McClung talked a lot about a multiplier type situation like Indiana has or whatever. And I think you always have those conversations. I think after every season at the top level, the KHSAA has to have a football committee, and they have to sit together and talk and think, and coaches have to get together and present their ideas and make tweaks and adjustments. And the RPI, I think, you know, it has its holes, but I think ultimately it was a good thing. And the way they've redone the playoffs and that, I think that makes for good matchups and gives you some fair things. And, you know, sometimes it makes for a team or two that has to make a long travel, but, you know, those are just the kind of things that are unavoidable. So I think that always has to happen in every sport. I think you do it, and, you know, at the end of the day, for everything. And, you know, he's kind of got me come around on his multiplier, and teams move up, they've had success. And he at the lunch table, he really laid it out for us. So I'll be intrigued to look into that to see if that was something that Kentucky could do at some point. But you got to have enough people that want to agree and want to do that too.
Yeah, Coach McClung, what would you be in favor of? Would you be one of those that's maybe in favor of being the number one seed of bye and just taking the top three seeds and the top three teams in each district?
I would be okay with any changes as long as it didn't reduce the games. Yeah. No, I don't want a solution where if they want to take less teams to go to the playoffs, I want to go back to an 11-game season. You know, I just think there needs to be something to even out the competitive balance a little bit. You know, there's some schools in the state that are just I think there's a way that you can make the playoffs where, like, your lower classes are truly the schools that have the similar types of resources, and your higher classes are, you know, you can say they're better football, but they're the schools that we all know who they are. The ones that are in the state finals every year. It's not just that they have other advantages over some programs. And, you know, I just want to find some kind of competitive balance where everybody, or, you know, all the solutions that I think about is I want football to be big everywhere. I want every community to have hope in their football team and be competitive. And, you know, I don't like to see football programs that go 0 for year after year after year, and you know, those programs that their coach leaves right before the season. You know, those things aren't good for the game, and I think we got to look at ways for the overall health of football in the state of Kentucky, because I think looking out for ways to make football better in all these communities helps football for everybody.
Well, you've got to get more people interested in football, but you have to have a little success to get people interested. But, you know, it's kind of a tough thing. If you don't have a little success, then you don't get more students wanting to play. You don't get more community members wanting to be involved in your program, unless you have some success along the way somewhere.
You know, I think of a school like Fulton County. I was coaching in Fulton County before I came to Caldwell County. And last night they had their first home playoff game in – I don't know, like 20 years or something. I think they got beat by Bethlehem. But, you know, that school is if we – you think they're rural, they're extremely rural. And, you know, if they have 20 kids on their football team, that's a lot for them. And, you know, all those years that Mayfield was in 1A, Fulton County was in their district. You know, and I think about how unfair that is if you think about all the things other than, you know, even just Mayfield's got good football players, but Mayfield has a lot of other advantages that Fulton County will never be able to compete with. You know, I think there's only been one or two times that Fulton County's ever been able to even compete with Mayfield. So there are things in the overall structure of football that I think that they could look at that other states are doing that we could take and use in our state to make football better for everybody.
When we see some teams pull out of the playoffs, though, it almost creates an unfair advantage for another team, because one of the teams that pulled out was actually a 3 seed. It wasn't a 4 seed, it was a 3 seed.
Yeah.
So now you've got the 2 seed getting a bye in the first round, while the 1 seed had to play a game. Now the 1 seed's still going to be highly favored, but, you know, anytime you play a game, you risk somebody being hurt or somebody being thrown out of a game for whatever reason. And, you know, the team that didn't have to play a game didn't have to face those obstacles.
I think the bye is a disadvantage in the playoffs. I really don't want to bye. I wouldn't want to bye in November. You know, Mayfield's already had a bye. And really, you know, they're going to be a big favorite over Hancock County, but their likely third-round opponent is going to be probably going to be LCA. I think that's who they'll end up playing. And, you know, they haven't really had a competitive football game. And the Central game, the last regular season game, was a good ad for them. But they haven't had a lot of competitive football games in a long time. And they have a bye in November. I don't think that's a good thing.
Well, one of the knocks on the current playoff system and the six-class system has been that the same teams, Jeff, seem to have some success every year. And there are programs, like I think Corbin, they said they've been in the regional finals for like 20 years in a row. But at the same time, you're always going to have traditional powerhouses that do well all the time.
I think you make that same argument as the four-class system. The four-class system, it was just a few less teams. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? There's probably some more competitive balance in the low, but the reason you went to the six-class system was because the four-class system, people complained about the same teams winning all the time. And so it's the six-class system's been around long enough that those teams have found their way to the top and they've found their niche, and they're, you know, you just got a couple extra teams to do that. I know one of the things that I know a lot of people talk about watering down the playoffs, but, you know, Holy Cross and Bethlehem or whoever it was, you know, Class A District 2 swept Class A District 1 last night. And all those teams are advancing, and they're playing, I guess, a true district tournament in the second round. And, you know, how fair is it to tell Holy Cross you don't deserve to go to the playoffs after you go win a game? I mean, if you take away that four seed there, that's rare. I get that. But, you know, that's why you get to go play. I mean, they're a good football team, and they were able to get Russellville last night, and that's a 4-1. And, you know, they're playing that Class A. Louisville's a tough place to play, and, you know, they may get sneak up and get somebody on the second time around. So I don't know. I just like more football. Like Coach said, I wouldn't be in favor of reducing the number of games. If football's good to play and it's good for kids to play and we believe in it, then why would we want to do less of it?
Yeah.
You need to do a little bit more of it. And if you're a fan and you only care about the scoreboard and you want a competitive game, then you can choose not to go to those games.
Yeah.
But here it's not about money and choosing the ticket sales. It's about kids, and you want your kids to play. So I like it.
Yeah.
I like getting the kids out and letting them play. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings, and maybe teams wouldn't do it. But, you know, if whoever drops out and doesn't want to, Fort Knox doesn't want to play, maybe they call – you know, call Trigg or some another team that didn't make the playoffs, see if they want to go play. I don't know. That's just, again, an internal program thing that you have to do and decide if they want to do that. But I would hate to reduce the number of football just because I think football is good for kids.
Well, and some people are kind of thrown out that maybe we need to add an 11th regular season game, but then only take the top two to the playoffs. That way everybody gets one more game. But at the same time, you're kind of cutting your playoff participation in half.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, too. I mean, I understand that. I remember as a player when only two teams made the playoffs, and I felt like there were some really good teams that deserved the opportunity to go to the playoffs and didn't make it. And so I really like the four. I wouldn't hurt my feelings if they found some way to classify all sports.
Yeah.
And they went back to four classes, and everybody played the same district and everything, and you create something that way, that might be good. But ultimately, that's still a little less football than having an 11-game regular season or something, and, you know, maybe an extended playoff. Excuse me, but, you know, there's a lot of things you can think about doing, but I don't know. I don't hate it the way it is. I think it's fun. I mean, you know, Friday night I'm going to pick a football game to go watch, and I'll do that up until state championship. And, you know, just because I love high school football, and I'll try to pick the most competitive game or a team that I'm interested in seeing. And, you know, just I'll go be a fan for a few weeks.
I do remember one year where the first district in Class 2A swept the second district. Lone Oak was one of those teams, so that's how far back it was. But it was us, Mayfield, Fort Campbell, and Lone Oak. Lone Oak was the four seed and went to Owensboro Catholic and won that night. So district was pretty good that season.
And traditionally, 2A District 1 is good.
Yeah.
I mean, Mayfield's the team to beat most years, but, you know, Caldwell's had good teams, Triggs had good teams, Fort Campbell's had good teams. I mean, it's been tough to get over. And then, you know, Lone Oak was probably – that was when they were on the rise and probably got started. I mean, it's, you know, and it changes every year, but, you know, that's kind of the fun of it. You know, you got to go and you got to compete, and that's the, I don't know, I think this is one of the things I love about it.
I will say this, I like bigger districts. You know, I like being in a 16 district as opposed to a 14 district. It's, you know, as a head coach, making a schedule is a pain. It was a pain, and did not have to make a schedule and already have five teams of your size on your schedule is I don't know, administratively, I really like being in the bigger district, and I like for those district games to mean more in the regular season. So
yeah, you've got half your schedule done.
Yeah, that's right.
This is Saturday Morning Quarterback, as always, at McDonald's in Princeton. We need to get to a break. We'll come back and have more with the coaches right after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
With the changing times, we're all being presented many choices. Let's make the right choice when it comes to our loved ones. Choose Pennyroyal Hospice when the end-of-life decision must be made. Of all the decisions you have to make, this perhaps is the most important of all for your loved one. Choose your compassionate and caring friends and neighbors at Pennyroyal Hospice. Pennyroyal Hospice, living to the fullest.
Your local McDonald's wants you to know that they are ready to serve you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Dine-in or the drive-thru is always open, and they offer curbside pickup service. To avoid the wait in the drive-thru, you can download the McDonald's app and try curbside pickup. Stop in soon and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at your local McDonald's. Proud to be a part of this community. McDonald's of Princeton, proud supporters of the Caldwell County Tigers.
You've been listening to the Saturday Morning Quarterback Show with your host, Todd Griffin. For high school sports news from across the area, go to your sportsedge.com.
The next series after the
race. We are at McDonald's in Princeton this morning for a Saturday Morning Quarterback, wrapping up a 2025 season for the Caldwell County Tigers. 6-5 the record after last night's loss up at Hancock County. Coach McClung, first time I've been to Hancock County. Like their facilities, but you know, with the stands on each side kind of off centered a little bit, my OCD kind of was acting up a little bit. But I did like the trip up and enjoyed the trip to Hancock County.
Yeah, it's not a bad drive, really. I mean, we've been up there to scrimmage, and it's four lane the whole way. You get going for them, then you got about 20 minutes in two lane road, so it's not a bad drive at all. It's a nice stadium. I don't understand why you spend all that money on a stadium and getting it's off center on both sides, but. It wasn't a bad place to play. You know, some places we don't even get a locker room, so we had a locker room that we could use last time, and it was fairly close to the stadium. And you know, the only thing I didn't really like about it is how they play music when we're trying to call plays. But you know, that's what you get when you go on the road.
I assume they probably built the stands at some point and had maybe the stadium was set up a little different. Maybe when they put the turf in and redid everything, maybe that's when everything became off center a little bit. But
Think it was like the guy in the Burger King commercial when he put the, you know, when he messed up cheese, he's like,
and the chefs, yeah.
Good, close enough.
Well, we were talking about the playoffs and what we can do to fix them. I'm not sure they need fixing. Kind of like the way they're set up too. But, Coach, what's kind of your opinion on the state of high school football right now overall? And are there any changes that need to be made to the sport?
I mean, overall, I think high school football is in a pretty good place. I do think that we've had participation numbers go down, but I only know in my area the most. I think the talent level is down in this region of the state right now. I don't think it's as high as it has been. I do think that we are improving. We were up to almost 50 kids this year, and a couple of years ago, I think we ended the season with 27. Maybe last year we ended with 27, so we had 50 kids. So our participation numbers at the lower grade levels are good and coming back up. So I do think there's been some changes at the Little League that are going to help us in the future. You know, we had two teams at each. We had a sixth grade team, a fifth grade team, a fourth grade team, and a third grade team, and all of our teams played in the championships, and so I do think the future is bright for Caldwell County football. Our middle school football team had a good year. They lost by 4 points to Mayfield. That was their only loss. So I think we're trending up here. Overall, in the whole state, I worry about the effects of the changes that have been made in college football on high school kids. I think it's extremely hard right now for a high school kid to get recruited in this NIL transfer era, because I think college coaches are recruiting other colleges instead of high school kids. And I think that's a big problem. But for me, if you want to play college football, there are places you can go. You just got to weigh, is it worth it, because it's expensive. You know, there's not. You can play college football, but there's not a lot of scholarships out there for high school kids. So I don't sell that when I go try to get kids to play football. I don't sell that you're going to get a scholarship if you play football, because that's not true. You know, you if you are a great athlete, you're very lucky if you get a scholarship offer. That's not the norm. I really try to sell the overall experience of what high school football can do and what high school football means. I played all the way through college football, played at every level except the professional level, and high school football is really the best. It's the purest form, I feel like. And if kids want to get something out of football, and really just you need to emphasize the most on what you do in high school. And then if you're good enough in a high school football player, the colleges will find you. So that's kind of my opinion.
It is another Saturday in college football. What's the big game on tap today? What are you watching?
Well, Missouri and Texas A&M, I think that's a big one. I think it's a big opportunity for Texas A&M to get upset because Missouri is a tough place to play.
Yeah. Kentucky has Florida tonight, Jeff. Kentucky wins that one. They're on a winning streak.
Yeah, go Cats. What about that? All two good wins can turn the whole thing around, man. You never know.
I think Stoops has already saved his job.
Maybe he might even sign an extension if he beats Florida.
You just never know.
His buyout will be $500.
You just never know. Like I said last week, I thought the Cats had a chance at Auburn. I didn't think it'd be a 10-3 ball game, but you win them however you can win.
Win's a win, Todd. I mean, you can't be mad at the guy for not winning and then be mad when he wins.
I mean, Stoops is just going around getting coaches fired.
Yeah.
Whoever
the interim coach in Florida might be in trouble today.
I'd say he is.
Well, the high school season is over for Caldwell County. Again, a loss last night up in Hancock County in the first round of the playoffs. Tigers, though, ending the season with a 6-5 mark. And hopefully that's something Coach McClung can build on for next season. And I appreciate you guys coming in and being on the show each week this year.
Well, before we close it out, I want to wish our cheerleaders good luck. They're competing in the Region 1 cheer competition at McCracken County High School probably right now. I think they're going to take the floor right about 10 o'clock. So good luck to them, and hopefully they can kind of keep their season going and go compete and earn a berth to the state cheer competition.
And Coach McClung, any final thoughts on the season?
Well, I just in this hour of talking, I've already started to come out of my days a little bit, thinking about next year and thinking about what these seniors have done and how much I appreciate them. And I'm looking forward to the banquet and talking about them. And I just really care about these kids. I'm glad I got to coach them.
I'm glad Saturday morning quarterback could be a little therapeutic this morning.
Yeah.
Do appreciate you guys coming in all year and being on the show, though.
Todd's going to start charging by the hour for therapy now.
Oh, that's some expensive stuff.
Talk sports, get feel better.
And we do appreciate McDonald's and Princeton for hosting us all year. Thanks to Abby Callen back on controls at the station today, and for Bryce Thompson for coming in and helping us get all hooked up here at McDonald's. For Coach Aaron McClung and Jeff Riley, this is Todd Griffin. We really appreciate you joining us here on Saturday Morning Quarterback from McDonald's on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.